COVID-19 is quickly circulating throughout the province of Quebec. It's essential that you get tested only if you have COVID-like symptoms. Symptoms such as fever, cough, and loss of taste or loss of smell. As you may already know, testing still remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. For more information, visit quebec.ca/test COVID-19. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
My name is Eric Donaldson, and right now I'm inviting you to tune in to CKUT 90.3 FM on your dial. Oh, Eric Donaldson says so. Sing, tune in.
To make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Following is a previously broadcast program.
Now there is a folk song that goes like this. Don't let a fellow fool you if the clothes he wears are fine. For there's an honest heart beating underneath these rags of mine. The worth of a man is not determined by the type of clothes circumstances permit him to wear, nor the color of his skin or the texture of his hair. But by their fruit ye shall know them. The highway of the path is littered with the blood and tears of black men and women who took what they had and made something better. In every major field where men are successful, the Negro has made his mark with peak efficiency and great distinction. He simply shook his fist in the face of disasters and inconveniences that confronted him. Thank you.
Sur les ondes du peuple à Montréal, 90,3 MF, avec mon nom Khalid. For the Mothership Connection, we call Funky Revolutions on the People's Power Station in Mount Real. Excitement, wordsmithing, and bass playings, or musing on other instruments. Nos invités au studio cette semaine, William Parker et le poète David Budbill. Co-hosting the show today with me is Dave Fortner Anderson, host of Dromo Text, heard Thursday evenings, and Andy Williams. Stay tuned with Funky Revolutions, the Mothership Connection, the sound of people marching in the street. CKUT 90.3 FM, word, sound, and its power.
Tomorrow. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما.
Like play a peace title. Oh Lord, don't let them drop that atomic bomb on me. Jesus.
Incorporated. You listen to CKUT, the greatest and most crucial radio station in all of Montreal, and maybe Canada.
There is a folk song that goes like this.
Don't rely on your experience to necessarily depend on everything going smoothly. Funky Revolutions, my name is Khalid, and it is with great pleasure that we finally have the mothership called Funky Revolutions under control and can welcome our special guests for a bass and word sound power experience. We will have William Parker and the poet David Budbill in studio, and co-hosting this session of the Mothership Experience is Fortner Anderson, colleague from CKUT, as well as the host, a host of Jazz Euphorium, heard Wednesday evenings 8 till 10 p.m. His name is DJ Andy Williams, and he's known to the listeners of Funky Revolutions, taking you till 4 p.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM in Mount Real. We're going to do an interview session with William Parker and David Budbill. We also have the luck and privilege. They've agreed to perform over the airwaves and listen to some new musics and creative forces from the likes of William Parker and David Budbill. Just to let you know, started with field recordings from 1950 in Haiti, and rather than just simple percussion, the use of bamboo sticks and ogon drums there from Quadro Dance, and then miscued, as it were, from 1970 and The Request for Peace. The Four Tops was the group, and the song or solution called Love is the Answer. Now, it is with great pleasure that I turn over the microphone to Fortner Anderson, who is the host both of Grey Matters and Dromotex Thursday evenings starting at 7, running till 9. Greetings, Fortner.
Thanks, Khalid.
How are you today?
I'm well. I'm well.
Excellent.
I'm excited, actually. This is a tremendous occasion for me, something I've looked forward to for a long time. I wanted to start by reading a poem and a quote from our guests. This one, the first poem is called What Issa Heard. And it's from David Budbill's book entitled Moment to Moment Poems of a Mountain Recluse. It goes like this. 200 years ago, Issa heard the morning birds singing sutras to this suffering world. I heard them too this morning, which must mean, since we always will have a suffering world, we must also always have a song. And a quote that I found on the internet by William Parker that goes, those in the music business say this music can only be so successful. I say there is no limit to what we can do for each other as human beings. An extraordinary collaboration of two masters that we'll hear in a moment. And they're playing, of course, tonight at the Casa del Popolo at in the midst of the Suoni per il Popolo. The new jazz fest at the Casa del Popolo, and the show starts at doors open at 9, and show starts between 9:30 and 10. Tonight, William Parker and David Budbill will be doing a piece entitled "Songs for a Suffering World." Now, briefly, David Budbill, a man who lives at the deep end of a long Vermont road, a mountain recluse, a man who has imbued himself deeply with the poetry of China and the spirituality of Zen, has amongst his creations, of course, a book of poems, Moment to Moment, Poems of a Mountain Recluse, that comes out on the Copper Canyon Press edition. Also, Judah Fine, his masterful recreation of a Vermont small community and all of its misery and its grandeur, which was re-released by the Chelsea Green Publishing Company in 1999, if I'm not correct. An opera made from that story, performed several places around the United States. It was also made into a play. It won the Bay Area Critics Circle Award for Best Ensemble Performance in the early 1990s. He and William Parker came together for an extraordinary double CD work entitled Zen Mountains, Zen Streets, and hopefully we'll hear a little bit about it. And William Parker, the accolades are numerous and I guess what can I say? I'll read one of them. I must earnestly state that getting up every morning in the world of today would be far more difficult task were it not for William Parker and his music. William Parker has also been described as one of the premier improvising musicians on the New York and international scene. His albums include Piercing the Veil with Hamid Drake on Om Fidelity, The Mayor of Punkville with the Little Huey Creative Music Orchestra, also on Om, The Peach Orchestra, In Order to Survive, also on Om Fidelity. His work with the Little Huey Creative Music Orchestra is one of the highlights of the New York art scene. I wanted to welcome both of you masters into the Simple Studios at CKUT.
Thank you.
You all are just back from New York City and the Vision Festival, where you played Songs for a Suffering World, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And I know that you all had had some problems with the content of this piece when you performed it in Vermont last year. So I was wondering How did it play in New York City?
Well, in New York, you don't really have problems with very many things because particularly in the Lower East Side or the East Village, you know, people aren't shocked or disrumpled by many things, which is a, you know, which can be a problem. But I think the piece went off well in New York at the Vision Festival.
Yeah, I did too. We did a kind of abbreviated version of it there. We'll do a longer piece of it tonight. But what happened in Vermont, and it was last November, and it was an earlier version of this. We've changed quite a bit of it since then, but because it changes with the seasons and current events. But the video team that taped us apparently got offended by our lack of patriotism, and it was going to show on a public access TV down around White River Junction, the Dartmouth College area, and they decided not to do it because it was unpatriotic, I guess.
But you fixed that since last November.
Right.
Well, I was hoping that you all might do some of the work that you're going to perform this evening at the Casa.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The things in parts, and so we'll just do this a little part. And it's also some of the stuff is my poem, some of it's quotations. Like in this particular section, there's a a section in which William plays Shakuhachee. Starts out with a quote from Thomas Merton, the radical Catholic monk and a peace activist, and there's quotes from the Bhagavad Gita and all kinds of things. So we could do this little section for you. This is from Trappist monk, poet, peace activist Thomas Merton. There is in all visible things an invisible fecundity, a dimmed light, a meek namelessness, a hidden wholeness. There is in all things an inexhaustible sweetness and purity, a silence that is a fountain of action and joy. It rises up in wordless gentleness and flows out to me from the unseen roots of all created being. Written after reading Ouyang Zio's poem called Spring Walk to the Pavilion of Good Crops and Peace. The middle of May. It's beginning again. The pavilion of good crops and peace has decorated itself again. The hills are green. The garden is full of young shoots. The sun is high and warm. Already countless generations of wildflowers have gone to seed. I can hear music coming from the pavilion. It floats on the air like apple blossoms falling like spring birds singing in mid-air. The peas and beans, the young maple leaves are singing. Warmth and peace, life, life to all that grows. But there is no peace. In 1961, I stepped onto Huff Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio, and saw a man lying on his back on the sidewalk, bleeding. I saw another man standing over him. Then the standing man raised his foot and stomped it down on the other man's face. When he took his foot away, the other man's face was gone. The standing man wiped his shoe on the other man's shirt and walked away. The same thing happened just yesterday in Kabul, Jenin. What happened in Jenin? Romania, Somalia, Sudan, Bosnia, Rwanda, Zaire, Chechnya, Kosovo, the Bronx, New York, or right around the corner from here. Yet the music still comes. It floats on the air. The peas and beans, the young maple leaves, will not quit singing. They will not give up their song. Warmth and peace, warmth and peace, life to all that grows. Warmth and peace, life to all that grows. The Bhagavad Gita says, whatever you do, make it an offering to me. The food you eat, the worship you perform, the help you give, even your suffering, and the music you play, the poems you write. Buddha was right. Life is suffering. And because it is, because we are here and we suffer, we can know the suffering of others. And because we can know the suffering of others, we can light the fire of compassion within ourselves, the fire of compassion for all suffering in this world. Light the fire of compassion, the fire of compassion. Warmth and peace, life to all that grows. Life, life. Life to all that grows.
Well, thank you very much.
Wonderful. Wonderful. 2:35 on the PM side of things on CKUT 90.3 FM. In studio with us are David Budbill, words, and William Parker, words, flutes, and thumb piano, performing a selection from Songs for a Suffering World, and they are in studio. Great privilege for us on the mothership we call Funky Revolutions, and co-hosted by colleague Dave Fortner Anderson, who's interviewing David Budbill and William Parker, started with reflections on receptions of Songs for a Suffering World in New York City. Really very interesting, beautiful piece, and fuel for the mothership. Fortner, the Vision Festival is a pretty extraordinary festival, and I know you wanted to talk a little bit more about the energy and the vision of this festival, which was its 7th edition this year in New York City, I think.
Mm-hmm. I guess in a few words to describe the festival, Patricia Nicholson Parker said that the revolution never ended. It continues here. It continues inside each one of us as we resist evil. Hear the music, let the dance move us. And she goes on. But I wanted to ask you all, how do you, a difficult question perhaps, but how do you feel that your work acts? And how does it work in a revolutionary way?
William, you go first.
Well, I hope that it it helps keep me alive. So I just conclude that somehow, and hope that it that same projection is put out to the people who receive the art, who hear the sounds, who listen to the poetry, who sort of heighten their senses to see. You see, beauty is all around us. except that when we, the way society is set up, we are sent to school and we're trained to not be receptive to what's beautiful. So we're operating on a, let's say, for example, like everyone is at a capacity to operate on 100 watts, while most people are sort of like operating on like maybe 10 to 15 watts. And we could, so we need art to sort of allow us to kick in that extra power, to be aware that we could operate on a much higher level as human beings if we feed our souls. And I think that you know, basically that's what art does. Art feeds the soul of human beings, and which allow them to operate on their maximum level, which causes change. Because if you're operating on your maximum level, you are in tune with the universe, so you don't do anything in your life that is against nature. So you're not destroying the planet, you're not killing other human beings, you're not stealing, you don't have hate or jealousy and these things in your heart. So you've changed from the inside out, and I think that's what art does. It changes people from the inside out, and it even transcends the word art. You know, I mean, and it just becomes life.
Yeah, I think William actually has a quote that says, whatever you do, you're trying to move people. And I think that's what I'm trying to do as a writer, and we are trying to do as a duet when we get together, is create some kind of compassionate, emotional response to whatever it is we're talking about. And I think specifically for writers, for poets, especially in this day and age, how many thousand years have people been saying that? The attempt to try to be honest about stuff is so important, and it's so, I mean, listen to, I keep thinking, here I am in a different country, and what is it like to live in a country that isn't the world's bully? Where we come from, newspeak or deliberate distortions of the truth, whether you want to talk about the axis of evil or whatever George has thought up this week to talk about, it's a manipulation of language for ends that I, you know, just can't stand. I think writers need to try to be as honest and straightforward about life and their situation in life and as they possibly can be. And that act in itself is a revolutionary act. I think what drew William and I together originally and sustains us is that we both have a deep commitment, I think, to our art being directly connected to the people and the community and the welfare of both.
I wanted to, I mean, since, of course, 1945, there's been the idea that the use of language for its sometimes obscene purposes, propaganda and the lies of the state and what now, have made it much more difficult to communicate. And I imagine the same thing exists within the realm of music as well, is that the great cliches of pop and that the commercialization and the globalization of that industry have made the very tools useless in some extents. But how do you all confront that problem, or do you view it as a problem?
You just got to keep on keeping on. I don't. In the face of popular music or popular writing or whatever it is, I mean, Jacqueline Suzanne or whoever, whatever the Canadian equivalent of this, of someone like that. I mean, obviously, you contact and you touch the people you contact and you touch. And as frustrating as it is sometimes, you have to, I think you have to be committed to reaching out and trying to touch and touching those people that you possibly can, and not sort of pissing and moaning all the time about what, you know, the smallness of your audience or whatever.
And what did, I mean, you of course have devoted your life to pushing the envelope of musical expression of the, do you feel that that work is becoming, is hindered or the oppressed by the a music which is becoming less able to communicate?
Well, I mean, I've always said that, you know, the salvation for the music is in the people who don't listen to the music, because there are more of them, and you always would like to have it where your music available to people, where it's not underground, where if it were given a chance, like above ground, on a regular radio and played at the frequency that pop music is played, that people would enjoy it and would indeed respond to it. But we haven't been given that chance yet. So we sort of have to not be happy with what we've been given. You always want a bigger audience. You always want to reach more people because, you know, sometimes it seems like there are more people against us than for us. But you play, again, I think that the music is keeping the, I mean, just on one level, it's keeping the planet balanced. And I think if you told all the musicians in all the countries in the world, don't play any music today, you would see a dark cloud over the earth. And if you told people, just don't do anything good today, you know, think your most evil thoughts, you know, I think that the planet might explode. So I think on just on that level, whether we play by ourselves in a room and no one's listening, the vibrations that the music is sending out, the vibration of the song is keeping the planet balanced. It's a reason that the trees don't just get up and walk away.
Yeah, especially as the two of us and the other artists in America, I mean, we have to write more poems and play more music right now to try to counteract what's going on in Washington.
Poet David Budbill, and multi-instrumentalist, not only bass player, both cultural workers committed and experimenting in a wide range of forms, David, from novels and plays to poetry, and William Parker, from The Secret of the Bass and the Rhythm to from Going from Time to the flutes that he's performing here today with melodies. They'll be performing as part of this wonderful festival that started on the 3rd of June, running till the 23rd of June here in Montreal as part of the Casa del Popolo's Suni per el Popolo. And Saturday, today, June the 8th, down at Casa del Popolo, located at 4873 Boulevard Saint-Laurent here in Montreal, they will be performing. And part of a piece that we just heard, they'll be playing the more extended version of Songs for a Suffering World. I wanted to know, your first collaboration together was called Zen Mountains, Zen Streets, a duet for poet and improvised bass. Last question in terms of this balance and this beauty and the role of music and how the two of you came together. I noticed, William Parker, that on your latest quartet, William Parker Quartet, Raining on the Moon, featuring Lena Conquest, wonderful record that somebody let me listen to just recently, there's a song called James Baldwin to the Rescue. And I see that, I guess that from that words and the power of words to influence music or inspire music might mirror. This is my question. How do the both of you, as coming from different angles, see the interplay of music and words coming together? How do you see those vibrations being shared? What's specific to each, and how do they? What are the challenges of melding and working together, basically?
Well, you know, David was a musician and still is a musician. You know, he played the trumpet and saxophone and shakuhachi and other things. And before I was a official musician, I used to write, and I still do write. So there's a connection there, just there with you know, words that I might write and sounds that David might make, that sort of help thread things together. And words have always been, you know, they're intricate to people's lives, because I mean, it's just obvious with I love you, on down to you know, get up and let's keep on moving, you know.
Yeah, you know, I think, I mean, poetry and music are only recently separated, in this century almost, or the last couple centuries. I mean, the Book of Songs, which Confucius put together from folk poetry from 3000 BC up to about 500 BC, is called the Book of Songs because they're all songs. I mean, they're poems, and we read them now as poetry, but they were sung. I mean, so that the connection between poetry and music is so intimate and so close. And also, as a writer, I mean, poets, I think, are people who are interested in the rhythm of the language, the music the language can make. And also, I should mention that in this piece that we're doing tonight, there's a passage that William wrote. So we go back and forth between, not to mention the fact that there's numerous songs that William sings or we sing together that are lyrics that tunes that William wrote the music and the lyrics for both. So there's lots of William's words in this thing. But I just think that for me personally, the connection between words and music are so intimate. And I do, I mean, I play a musical instrument of some kind every day. And I do that because to me it's an intimate part of being a writer or being a poet. I mean, I'm not saying everybody should do that, but I need to do it. I have to do it. So I just, the connection between poetry and or music or words and music is so close, I can't, for myself, separate them at all.
Well, then, I think we're going to listen to a piece from a selection from, a shorter selection from Zen Mountains, which was your first collaboration on record together off Boxholder Records, released in 1999. That is poet and musician and creator David Budbill, joined also by William Parker, Zen Mountains and Zen Streets. We'll be back after this brief identification. CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hi, this is Kali of Kali and Dub Incorporated. You listen to CKUT, the greatest and most crucial radio station in all of Montreal, and maybe Canada.
That's true.
The selection I thought we'd play is a shorter one. It's part 5, What Brings You the Most Joy, from William Parker and David Budbill. They're performing tonight at Casa del Popolo.
After reading Wu Yang Su's poem called Spring Walk to the Pavilion of Good Crops and Peace, it's beginning again. The Pavilion of Good Crops and Peace has decorated itself again. The hills are green. The garden is full of young shoots. The sun is high and warm. Already countless generations of wildflowers have gone to seed. I can hear music coming from the pavilion. It floats on the air, like apple blossoms falling, like spring birds singing in midair. The peas and beans, the young maple leaves, are singing warmth and peace life to all that grows. But there is no peace. In 1961, I stepped onto Huff Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio, and saw a man lying on his back on the sidewalk bleeding. I saw another man standing over him. Then the standing man raised his foot and stomped it down on the other man's face. When he took his foot away, the other man's face was gone. The standing man wiped his shoe on the other man's shirt and walked away. This past May, a black man was drugged to his death behind a pickup truck. This past week, a gay man was pistol-whipped to death. Yet the music still comes, it floats on the air, the peas and beans, the young maple leaves will not quit singing. They will not give up their song. They will not give up their song. Warmth and peace. Life to all that grows. Thank you. Issa heard. Two 200 years ago, in faraway Japan, Issa heard the morning birds singing sutras to this suffering world. I heard them too, this morning, which must mean, since we always have a suffering world, we must also always have a song.
A selection from Zen Mountains, Zen Streets, a collaboration from David Budbill and William Parker, whom we have the great pleasure of listening to, both music and words of wisdom. Our colleague from Dromotext, Fortner Anderson, is along the for a ride on the mothership and orienting the discussion. And I'm going to hand the microphone back as we hit 3 on the p.m. side of things for this Saturday. You're listening to Funky Revolutions on the People's Power Station in Montreal. Fortner.
So we heard a cut entitled, What Brings You the Most Joy, from a double CD put out on the Boxholder label in 1999, entitled Zen Mountains, Zen Streets, a collaboration of David Budbill, poet, and William Parker on bass, a duet for poet and improvised bass, and an extraordinary recording. Now, if for those of you who might be interested in learning more about William Parker and David Budbill, I can refer you to the where all knowledge, all human knowledge is held, the World Wide Web, and www.williamparkermusic.com. or www.davidbudbill.com. Now, of course, we're very happy to have you all in the station today in advance of your show this evening at Casa del Popolo, your presentation of Songs for a Suffering World. Now, David, you live in Vermont, the back end of a long road off a small town. It's a recluse's life, and William, you're of course in the very heart of New York City, where the great all the foment of the of New York and its new jazz scene. How did you all ever meet?
Well, actually, Canada plays a major role in that, because I was subscribing to Bill Smith's Coda, that wonderful jazz magazine, which is kaput now. Is it no longer? I don't know. Anyway, and in the February-March issue of in 1986, there was an article about this young bass player named William Parker, and I actually dug it out, took a look at it last night. And there was something, it was an interview with him, and there was something in that, in his attitudes, not only toward music and art, but toward the world and toward society and toward the people, that really rang gongs in me, not even bells. And I wrote him a letter. I can't even remember how I found out how I got an address, but I wrote him a fan letter. And sent him a book, and William responded and sent me a record, and this began a friendship that and then we started trading books and records, and this was before CDs, things developed from there.
An extraordinary meeting. One of the things that we talked about a bit earlier was what I took from what you were saying is that you are both involved in very